are having a look at God speaking to us this morning. So if you come over to our house between the hours of 7:30 and 8:30 p.m., you will witness the putting to bed of the children. It is an interesting time. There they are. There is the instruction to go and put PJs on and brush their teeth. There's the refusal to brush their teeth because they haven't had their nighttime Milo. The encouragement to stop jumping on the bed and actually put on the pyjamas. The reading of Bible stories. The reading of other stories. Mickey falling over and exclaiming that she's too tired to read. The second round of instructions to brush their teeth. And then there are the good nights. In our house, good nights. Tucking the child in, singing Jesus Loves Me with their name inserted, praying together, singing Skinnamarinky. Good nights should then end with a hug, a kiss, and an I love you as you walk out the door. And that's when the child falls quietly to sleep, right? What actually happens is, Mom, I need my water bottle. Mom, I can't find Walter, the toy sheep. Mom, I can't go to sleep. It's been 3 minutes. Mom, what if I have a bad dream? Mom, I'm hot. Mom. Sometimes it goes on for what seems like an eternity. They also really like to wait till I've got my cup of tea and a biscuit and sat down. Mom. And it depends on what my day's been like as to how many of these questions I can handle before I walk back into their room and say, what? And in true kid fashion, that's when Enzo pulls out, I just wanted to tell you that I love you. Then you get to feel bad for being frustrated. Oh! So this morning we are looking at a time in the Bible when someone was called repeatedly. I'm going to need to give you a little bit of background before I read the passage. So, Hannah was married but was unable to have children. She went to the temple to pray, and because she was crying, the priest assumed she was drunk. Whole other story there. She did explain herself and declared that if the Lord were to give her a child, she would dedicate him back to the Lord. Eli prayed with her, and she went home. She became pregnant, and she had Samuel. And after he was weaned, they reckon around 3 or 4 years old, she took him to the temple and he lived there and served with Eli the high priest. Now Eli did a great job of teaching Samuel, but he let his own sons do whatever they wanted. And God pronounced judgment upon his family for their sins. And this is where we are going to pick up our story. We are going to read the whole of 1 Samuel chapter 3 so you can scroll or turn to that. It's also on the screen. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. There are so many takeaways from this passage, but today I'm just going to pick three of them for us to focus on. And the first point we're going to look at is that we need to be willing to serve. Samuel was taken to the temple at a very young age to serve the Lord. He grew up learning the job of a priest. He did the tasks he was assigned. He learned the word of the Lord under the tutelage of Eli. And I want to read you the verses that we know about Samuel before we get to the passage that I just read. When his mother took him to the temple, she said, "Now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. He worshipped the Lord there." And when his father left the temple, then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. After a passage describing the sins of Eli's sons, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord." After a passage about Hannah bringing Samuel a new robe, which she did every year, "And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." After a prophecy against the house of Eli, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people." In the very beginning of our chapter, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. What I found so interesting is that Samuel was brought up in the house of the Lord. He served the Lord, he worshipped the Lord, he grew in the knowledge and favor of the Lord. But let's look at verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." I think we often assume that service of the Lord is done because of our experiences with him. If we feel God and hear from him, and have some amazing event happen, then of course we will feel like serving him in honor of what he has done for us. But if we look at the life of Samuel, we find the exact opposite. He did not yet know the Lord. There had been no event, no revelation for Samuel, and yet he served every day, and he learnt, and he grew in favor with the Lord. When we learn who God is and what he has done for us, if we accept that to be true, then our service should come from that. It should be a choice that we make, regardless of how we feel. If we waited to do things until they felt right every single time, then I think the world would be a mess, and I think it's proving that point for me. People wait to marry someone until it feels right, but they're happy to sleep with them because that feels right. Feelings lead us completely astray. We need to be making our choices based on knowledge, and that being the knowledge of God. We need to make the choice to gather together as a body of believers based on the fact that the word of the Lord says it's a good idea. not whether we feel like it. We need to choose to love others, not because it feels right, but because Jesus commands us to. And we need to choose to live moral lives, because God says that is the standard of living for Christians. I remember discussing faith with my dad one day as a teenager, and we're coming to the conclusion that faith is often choosing to do what is right in spite of how you are feeling. I continue this discussion with Jeremy because, unfortunately, I'm a very feelings-driven person. When you are feeling down or sad or under pressure, you need to choose to prioritize church or reading the word or prayer. We need to choose, despite our feelings, not to pursue a relationship that you know from the word of God is not a good idea. We need to choose not to lie, choose to be kind, choose to serve God in whatever way we can. This is the faith that we're called to. Samuel knew the word of the Lord, but he had not yet met him. But in that, he served faithfully. And in his service is where he met the Lord. Samuel thought that he was being asked to help with some task for Eli. At that time of night, probably a menial or personal task, but he faithfully got up and went to help. And he didn't go just once, he went three times. And unlike me with my children, he didn't wander into Eli and say, "What?" Samuel believed in God and he spent his life in service of him. And this is the life we should aspire to. And we don't need to live in the temple. There's not enough room. But we need to approach our lives with that same attitude. We need to be looking at the word of God for how to live and then faithfully doing that. And we had a number of notices this morning about areas in the church where there is a need for service. And some of that's really practical. And some of it is in helping teach the next generation about the God that we serve. And that should excite us to have that opportunity to pass on what God has given to us. And if you're stuck for ideas because you're not really a children fan, there's a serving brochure out on the information desk. I made it. It's got lots of information. Have a look through. Pray over it. See where God might be leading you in service of him. Our second point for today is that we need to listen to God. While Eli had gone wildly off track with his own sons, he did a great job of teaching Samuel about the Lord. And after Samuel turned up for the third time, he knew that it was God who was calling. And he instructed Samuel in how to answer the Lord. Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." What I have not noticed before I was studying these chapters for this sermon is that the first three times there is a voice, and the fourth time, God shows up. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." The word of the Lord was rare in these times and visions were uncommon. And yet Samuel, the faithful young man, got to experience both. He was faithful to the Lord for years. And then the Lord came and met with him. I made a point in my previous sermon that we need to spend time not talking to God, but listening to him. Elijah inquired of the Lord, and he found him in a whisper, not in the storms. And I think we like to tell God all about what's going on for us, and we like to ask him for things, and neither of these things is wrong. But we sometimes miss the step about listening to the answer. For those of us who have been brought up in a Christian environment or have been at church a long time, it can feel like we're hearing the same things week in and week out. We are sinners. Jesus loves us. There are temptations. The armor of God's a good thing. Love others, etc. Now, when I was growing up, the church I went to had multiple services a week. I'm talking multiple. We had Sunday morning church, preceded by a half-hour prayer meeting. And from the ages of 3 to 10, there was Sunday school, and everyone else was in the main sermon. And we learnt the Bible. We had Sunday afternoon service with songs and skits for half an hour, and then Sunday school classes, and they were split by age from 3 to 18. At 10, they split into boys and girls. And we learnt the Bible. We had a Sunday night service preceded by a half-hour prayer meeting, which was an outreach and altar call every week. We had Tuesday and Thursday services, which were testimonies and sermons and monthly prayer meetings. We learnt the Bible there. We had boys and girls groups like Scouts, I guess, where we did fun activities and learnt the Bible. We had youth group for ages 13 until you were married on a Saturday night, where we did activities and studied the Bible. We also had camps during the school holidays and long weekends where you learnt the Bible. So by the time I was 16 or so, I felt like I knew a bit. And I remember talking to my mentor, Mrs. Wilding. I do go on about her because she was incredible. And I remember saying to her, I just don't feel like the Sunday school teachers are teaching anything new. Like, I've been there since age 3. And she asked me if I was asking God to speak to me. And I was quite confronted because I had not. So I decided to put it to the test the next Sunday at Sunday school during the opening prayer. I asked God to speak specifically to me, regardless of what the lesson was. And he did. The teachers continued through their notes, and God spoke to me every week, something just for me. And it taught me such a valuable lesson. If you are willing to listen, God will speak to you through anything. And I mean anything. My dad was spoken to through the movie Saving Private Ryan. I may have shared this story before. Bear with me. At the end, there's a soldier whose mission is to secure a bridge. He's been wounded, others have been killed, and he's facing an enemy tank with a pistol. He sits, leaning against some rubble, and he tries to fulfill his mission with definitely not enough firepower, but he fires one shot after another. And as he fires his last shot from his very small handgun, the tank explodes. He looks up in shock and sees a P-51 fly past. He had been faithful with what he had been given, and the military sent in air support. And Dad said he was struck with the similarity that if we are faithful with what we have been given to do, even when it seems futile, God will send in the air support and complete the mission. God spoke to Dad through a movie. We need to be open to God speaking to us, and we need to listen to what God has to say. And we need to realize that he might speak to us in a very unconventional way. Balaam got spoken to through a donkey. Please speak up if that happens to you. I'd be very interested. God has spoken to me through his word. God has spoken to me through his creation. He's spoken to me through the things my children say. He's spoken to me through movies. It was an animated Disney one. He's spoken to me during prayer, and he's spoken to me through the words of others. If God is all-powerful, he is, then there is no limit to the ways in which he can speak to us. We just have to be listening. And our final point for today is that we need to be obedient to what God says. When we look at what God says to Samuel, we can see that this is more than just a nice story about God speaking to a young man. Let's read the verses from verse 10. The Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sins he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The message that Samuel is given is very harsh. It is judgment on the house of Eli forever for the sins of his family that he did nothing to sort out. It is a harsh judgment. And it is so harsh, God says it will make the ears of those who hear it tingle, which doesn't sound that bad. But it's the word used for the noise a cymbal makes. And it refers to an involuntary reaction to bad news. People will shudder when they hear the judgment upon Eli's house. And this is the first word that Samuel is given from the Lord. And then he has to be faithful in sharing that word, even though it was difficult. Often when we seek a word from the Lord, I think it's specific to something we want, or it's positive. We want affirmation and encouragement. But do we simply just listen for what God has to say? Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we accept that God knows more than we do, he does, and that his ways are better than ours, they are, then what he has to say to us could just be more important and better than just the responses we're hoping for. I believe I've been given words from the Lord at times in my life, and they haven't always been what I've been looking for, or even anything I was thinking about. As a kid, I was an absolute bookworm. We didn't have a TV, but we had a big bookshelf. And at about 15, I was reading a book, and I felt the Lord say to me, put it down. I have no idea why that particular book was off limits to me. I do know what the story is about, and it doesn't seem overtly bad, but the Lord asked me not to read it. And I wonder sometimes if I was simply being asked, would you stop reading for me? I was always reading, and at about that age, I was starting to branch out from Christian novels and mainstream novels. And so perhaps God was checking that in that I would still listen to him. I put the book down, and to this day, I have not read it. I've read heaps of other books, but not the one God told me not to. I don't understand why, but he said it, so I did it. That was a word for me. I've also been asked to pray for specific people. I wasn't thinking about them particularly, but I felt an immediate need to pray. And with one of them, I still don't know what was going on. No idea why I was asked in that moment. With one of them, it turned out that my friend was contemplating suicide, but she fell asleep. And when she woke up, she didn't feel like it anymore. God gave me a word for others. Wasn't about me. God has things that he needs to tell us about. He has things for us to do. Are we willing to hear whatever it is he has to say to us? And will we be faithful in doing what he asks? I've told you all many times that at 18, God asked me to wait 14 years for my husband. I did not want to hear that. And I struggled very hard with that. But I did wait, imperfectly as it was, for Jim. And I can now see the wisdom of what God was asking me to do, even though at the time I hated it. the worship team could come up. There are things that we can do in service of the Lord, and they do not require that we have an experience with the Lord before we do it. There are things that God wants to accomplish through our lives. Are we brave enough to say, like Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"? And are we brave enough to not only listen, but to actually do what he has for us to do? Lord, we thank you so much that you know more than we do. There is so much beyond what we can comprehend. And we thank you that you are a loving God with good plans for people. And I pray that as we seek to hear you, we will recognize that there are things that we don't understand that you are hoping to achieve with our lives. When I was a teenager, I was quite isolated from friends, and I decided to serve the Lord anyway, and it led to depression. And I was told by Mrs. Wilding, if you can pray for what you're struggling with, thank God for it, not just in it, you will find an incredible power. And I said to God, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I'm going to trust that you have a plan, and I thank you for my depression. And I battled it for another 10 years. And I cannot even count the number of people I have been able to walk alongside and journey with them through their mental illness, because I understand what it's like to go through it. God has things for us to do. Nothing is wasted with the Lord. Lord, help us recognize that you are doing things beyond what you need to do in our lives for the goodness of your kingdom, for your glory, so that others can come into relationship with you. Lord, may we be brave enough to set ourselves aside and say, speak, your servant is listening. Let me be one of those people who lives in service of the Lord. Help us to be brave this morning in Jesus' name.